whether they're missing and what do they mean and where are they, has revisited this whole issue in the minds and correspondence of my listeners of the unresolved Heine affair in Queensland, the scandal that has dogged Queensland politics for the last 20 years. And as with all scandals, it's the cover-up that eventually brings people down, not the scandal itself. Everyone seems to be afraid of getting to the truth, or most are afraid of getting to the truth in the matter. Why anyone should be afraid of the law being applied equally in all circumstances is a moot point. After all, the notion of a fair go for everybody is central to what we're about. Here we had 20 years ago, the Queensland government and senior public servants shredding public records while knowing they were required as evidence in anticipated court proceedings. The issue was the rape of a 14-year-old girl at the John Oxley Detention Centre. These records were shredded knowing they contained evidence about the abuse of children. Yet a lowly Queensland Baptist pastor who shredded similar child abuse evidence in less clear circumstances was charged and found guilty by the same law. But for him, it was properly interpreted and applied. That wouldn't be a double standard, would it? The whistleblower at the centre of all this, who's fought for equal justice for everybody for the last 20 years, is Kevin Lindeberg. Mr. Lindeberg is a former public sector union official who stood steady at the gate for 20 years, declaring the shredding to have been an illegal act. The Queensland Premier Peter Beattie established a Ford inquiry in 1998 into child abuse. But what happened at the John Oxley Detention Centre was ruled out of bounds. What happened at the John Oxley Detention Centre 20 years ago has never been investigated. When Kevin Lindeberg made a submission to the Ford inquiry in 1998, he argued that you couldn't separate an investigation of child abuse from the fact that the Queensland government had actually destroyed relevant evidence 9 years earlier, which covered up that very issue. But the inquiry said the terms of reference set by the Beattie government for an inquiry headed by former Queensland Governor Lynine Ford prevented it from looking at the John Oxley issue. So the Ford inquiry, headed by the former Governor of Queensland, never confronted the reality that all the members of the Goss cabinet who participated in the decision to shred the Heine documents, five of whom served in the Beattie government, in the opinion of some of the nation's most senior legal figures, should be found guilty, along with public servants who were party to the shredding, of the obstruction of justice, and as I said, that includes the public servants who operated with them. We're talking about advice from Sir Harry Gibbs, a former Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia, a former West Australian Chief Justice, two retired New South Wales Chief Judges, two retired New South Wales Supreme Court Judges, one of Australia's foremost QCs, a legal academic, and then the eminent QC David Rofe, who in an audit of all the material between 1988 and 2005 compiled a 3,000-page, 9-volume document which alleges there are 67 unaddressed, alleged, prima facie criminal charges against the cabinet and civil servants that need to be addressed. Now, as I said, lest the argument be seen as a witch hunt against Kevin Rudd, when all those people began reviewing all that material, Mr. Beazley was leader of the opposition, there wasn't the slightest suggestion that Kevin Rudd ever would be, let alone Prime Minister. But now that he is, why wouldn't he appoint an independent special prosecutor for a proper investigation of these issues? As I said, the public servant in question is Kevin Lindeberg. He's been humiliated, vilified, condemned, ridiculed, called a crackpot, labelled obsessive, his livelihood ruined, just because as a former public sector union official, he has declared the shredding of these documents to be an illegal act. And he's got a stack of legal luminaries standing by him. This is a monumental struggle for justice, and indeed, I should say, the scandal has been categorised by the international community of archivists as one of the 14 great shredding scandals of the 20th century. It's lectured about in universities around the world, Michigan, Pittsburgh, Cape Town, Manitoba, and British Columbia. It's been declared by whistleblowers, Australia, as one of the nation's 5 most important episodes of whistleblowing. Kevin Lindeberg is on the line. Mr. Lindeberg, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
I suppose there's a distinct irony here for you that Kevin Rudd's calling for people's resignations and talking about integrity.
Yes, well, it's not lost on me, I can assure you of that.
So the judge's statement, all those eminent judges way back in 2007, calling for a special prosecutor to investigate the whole affair, was delivered to Premier Beattie and ignored. Then he resigned, delivered to Premier Bligh, and she's ignored it.
That's right. Yes,
now,
that's right.
You lodged a complaint, did you not, with the Crime and Misconduct Commission's Parliamentary Oversight Committee, which is the Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee?
Yes, we did that in Valentine's Day in February 2008.
And that was in relation to the 9 volumes of the Rofe QC audit?
That's right, yes.
And in relation to the findings by those eminent lawyers and jurists that there were 68 alleged prima facie criminal charges against various public officials?
Yeah, not just suspected official misconduct, but it went to the level of prima facie criminal charges.
Right. So, and all the background, all the legal documentation, a 55-page legal documentation supporting the judge's statements?
That's right.
And you asked for that material to be reviewed by an independent interstate QC or a retired judge?
That's correct.
So the Queensland Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee is made up of members of Parliament from both sides, is it not?
Yes, correct, yes.
And under the law, any decision must be bipartisan?
In relation to the type of complaint that we lodged, yes.
Right. So, and that's to protect whistleblowers, otherwise governments could block off whistleblowers at any time. You'd have to get people from both sides to agree to a conclusion.
That's right. That's precisely right.
Now, after you lodged your complaint with the PCMC, the Prime Minister, the then Prime Minister Rudd, the Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee, PCMC, the then Prime Minister Rudd nominated the Queensland Governor Quentin Bryce to be the next Governor General. Is it true, and do you know it as a fact, that both of them were adversely named in the audit over the handling of the matter at particular times when they held public office in Queensland?
I know that for an absolute fact.
So in other words, both were being investigated by the Queensland Parliamentary Crime and Misconduct Committee.
It was in the material before that parliamentary committee at the time.
About the shredding of evidence about the abuse of that 14-year-old child.
And other children, how they handled the matter at particular times, that's right.
And you were concerned that the Governor-General would be sworn in prior to these matters being resolved?
That's right, because I was concerned about maintaining the integrity of the Office of Governor-General. It wasn't about Quentin Bryce as such, but it was about maintaining the integrity of the Office of Governor-General. That's a paramount duty, in my view.
You wrote to the Queen on the 30th of May last year, pointing out the relevant Heine facts and the dangers of swearing in a new Governor-General going ahead while serious questions remained unanswered.
Well, yes, I did, because I took advice on that, because I believe that the Queen had a right to know, because this is the most important post in Australia, and before she signed the document, I felt that she was entitled to know what was happening in Queensland.
And not on the basis, did you draft it, that anything had been proven against Quentin Bryce, but on the indisputable fact that her conduct and that of others, given that all this documentation had been presented to her as well when she was the Governor, was the subject of a lawful, ongoing PCMC investigation.
That's precisely right. That's exactly right.
And you were saying no one should be sworn in if it were known that he or she was the subject of an ongoing police investigation in relation to a serious allegation of wrongdoing.
That's right, because, see, the Parliamentary Crime Misconduct Committee, that's a lawful inquiry. It can set up inquiries, it can have matters referred to the DPP.
Well, the Queensland Parliament is the highest court in the state, isn't it?
That's right, yes, exactly.
So you also sent a copy to the then Governor-General, Michael Jeffrey.
Yes, that's right.
Do you know, as a fact, that he wrote on the 10th of June last year to Prime Minister Rudd, seeking an investigation and advice on the contents of your letter, which was in effect about the Heine affair?
Yes, I hold a copy of that letter.
And did Prime Minister Rudd ignore the request from Australia's head of state?
Yes, that's right. Nothing was done about it.
He did nothing?
I never got a reply back. Nothing was done about it.
So the swearing-in of the new Governor-General went ahead with these critically important questions unanswered when the Prime Minister, the now Prime Minister, and the now Governor-General are named in that documentation?
That's right.
You wrote again to the Queen on the 24th of October, and did Buckingham Palace respond to you?
Yes, they did. I got a letter from them dated the 26th of November.
And I've seen that letter, and there is a key paragraph which says, quote, "Careful notes been taken of your comments. However, the Queen's position as a constitutional sovereign precludes her from personally intervening in matters such as this. I, and that is the senior correspondence officer of the Queen who was writing the letter, have nevertheless been instructed to forward your letter and enclosures to Anna Bligh MP, Premier of Queensland, Queensland State Government, PO Box 15185, City East, Queensland 4002, so that your approach to Her Majesty on this matter may be known and consideration given to the points you raise. Now, that surely can be taken to say that the Queen, who normally doesn't intervene on such matters, had in fact sent the material to Premier Bligh.
That's right. The word nevertheless, you're saying I normally don't do it, but nevertheless, under these circumstances, I'm going to do so.
And just a couple of weeks ago, you wrote to the Premier's Director General, who told you, as I understand it, that the Queen never wrote to Premier Bligh.
That's right. I got a letter from the Director General on the 27th of May saying that the Queen never wrote to Anna Bligh and therefore she never wrote back to her.
The PCMC, which under the statutory rules of the Parliament can't arrive at any decision which has merit unless it is bipartisan, that is, it's either a majority of the committee or there are people from both sides of politics who sign off on the resolution. But they took a decision in January this year, did they not, not to refer all these documents by the leading QC, by all of those judges, not to refer those things for independent examination and advice. And this was done in-house. It's an ALP report.
Yes, that's right, yes.
So it was a majority decision by the ALP members of the committee, but it wasn't bipartisan as the law requires.
That's right. I mean, the non-government members wanted the matter referred, they wanted it investigated, but the ALP said no, they wouldn't do it.
So the decision has no force under the Crime and Misconduct Act.
That's
and the matter can't be considered properly finalised.
That's right. That's the view of senior counsel and other people who are experienced in statutory interpretation. It's lopsided. It means they're saying that.
So the cover-up continues.
That's right. Exactly.
Cover-up continues. Now, the last time we talked about this some years ago, I was described as obsessive and the Pied Piper of conspiracy theorists. This is the plight of whistleblowers, is it not? You get everything thrown at you.
That's right, precisely. Yes.
And you're saying that there just must be equality before the law, that you detest bullies, you've said to me, you abhor child abuse, you abhor the abuse of women, you abhor the abuse of power, you've got nothing to do with right-wing extremists, and you've been running your own race.
I am independent, I am not the servant of others, and I'm the one who runs this business. I've got nothing whatsoever to do with extreme right people, right-wing organisations.
But others are concerned because 3 weeks ago you were invited to give a lecture on the Heiner affair and whistleblowing at the University of Queensland's School of Business to 20 of its senior under and postgraduate students, some of whom were overseas students.
Of course, that's right. I mean, people in the know, they know how serious this issue is.
And am I right in saying that another book on public record keeping is coming out in the United States in a couple of months with the support of the Society of the American Archivists, which is the greatest body on earth when it comes to public record keeping, and that the Heiner affair will be one of the cases cited in the book?
That's right. So it's another book on the Heiner affair, you know, being lectured on. That'll go throughout the world, to universities throughout the world, to use for students coming up about proper record keeping.
So what do you say, finally, are the ironies, given what's happened this week in Canberra?
Well, they're calling for an inquiry. Well, some people are calling for an inquiry into, you know, Utegate, etc. And, of course, it's serious. But, Alan, measure that against the Heiner affair. There must be an inquiry into this. There must be. I mean, here we've got the Queen trying to seek information from the Prime Minister, now from Premier Bligh, and she's being ignored. You can't have a situation.
And, of course, the Prime Minister ignoring representations by Australia's Governor-General, Michael Jeffrey.
Yeah, look, exactly. And nothing has been resolved in respect of the rope order. The matter remains unresolved.
Yep.
Still trying to peddle them.
Okay.
You can destroy documents. It's just a...
We'll go. Thank you for talking to us. We'll keep in touch.
Yeah, good on you, Alan. Thank
Kevin Lindeberg, 7:30.
Warri National News at 7:30. Afternoon showers or thunderstorms, tops of 20 degrees.